from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
Yes.
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 Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. As you probably know by now, this show is for all you musicians and performers and just folks who love music who are just trying to figure stuff out here in Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything.
Not even a little bit.
We've just about finished our eighth year, and we still have no idea what we're doing. We're out there slinging songs during the day just like you guys are. But we are able to bring very, very talented and smart people in here.
Exactly.
And pick their brains and give you the opportunity to join in the conversation.
That's right. And you can do that by going to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. You can also hit us up on Twitter at TheMusicRowShow. And the conversation starts right now.
Right now. It just happened.
It just happened.
We got a full show tonight. We have hit recording artist, songwriter, the great T. Graham Brown. Or the great T. Bluegrass Graham Brown.
That's right.
Just from this weekend.
He's got a brand new name now.
Yeah. He's going to be here to visit with us in hour one.
That's right. And then in hour two, we're going to be with one of Nashville's new generation, singer-songwriter, Animal Planet TV host Lucas Hodge, I believe is how he says it.
Is it?
In the second
hour. I thought it was Hoag. I don't know.
I heard somebody say Hodge on the internet, on the interwebs.
Well, then it must be true.
Then it must be true, right?
Do you know?
Well,
it's Hoag.
It's Hoag.
So wait a minute. That makes me right.
Uh-oh.
That makes Scott right. Hold on. Again.
You know, it had to happen once in 8 years, right?
Well, I figured because he said that people think that Will Hoag's his brother.
Oh, gotcha.
And nobody calls him Will Hodge.
They should.
They should.
They really should.
All right. Enough of this.
All
I know,
right.
Get to business here.
Well, as you mentioned, we've got a great recording on with us. We're so glad to welcome back hit recording artist T. Graham Brown. He's had a number of hit singles over the years, including number one songs like Hell on High Water, Darlene, Don't Go to Strangers, and I Tell It Like It Used to Be. I love that song. Mm-hmm. He's got a brand new project out, a Grammy-nominated album called Forever Changed, and it's just plain fantastic. I told him right before we went on the air. I've been driving around with that in my car for about two months now, and I love it.
Right.
Love it a lot. So, T. Graham Brown, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We love it
good
that you're back.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right.
Yay.
And I will say he's not just making that up because he's called me several times in the last couple months and says, man, this new T. Graham is really, really good. So congratulations on a great project. And before we delve into the Forever Change CD, one can't listen to your singing without hearing the strong blues influence. And you know, we said goodbye to B.B. King this week. I'd just love to hear from you. What did the man and his music mean to you?
He paid the cost to be the boss, baby. I love B.B. King. You kidding me? Everybody loved B.B. King.
Yeah.
And I got to play down at his place down there on 2nd Avenue.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I liked B.B. I don't think I ever met him. I might have met him one time, but I think I did meet him one time because I remember him being real sweet to me. But no, man, I love B.B. King.
I know every time I saw film of him interacting with anybody, I mean, whether they were musicians or not, there was just the word sweet just kept coming up.
Yeah.
It was like, man, he's just so
he is
generous.
He had 4 top 40 hits.
Yeah.
That's all he had.
That's crazy.
But people loved him, man.
Yeah, good stuff.
A legend nonetheless. Well, what are some, obviously he was an influence, but what are some of the other musical influences that maybe still inspire you today?
Man, you know, I grew up down in South Georgia. I spent my boyhood years down there, and I had a transistor radio, and we listened to a 5,000-watt AM station, and they played everything. They didn't have a format. They played.
Oh, that's
they might
nice.
Play Johnny Cash and then Aretha Franklin and Jerry Lee Lewis and the Beatles and, you know, Percy Sledge, Rolling Stone, all different kinds of stuff. So I listened to all that, so I got a little bit of everything. The first live band I ever heard, our house backed up to the railroad tracks in this little town called Araby, Georgia. And on the other side of the railroad tracks where all the black people lived, and I would sleep with my head at the foot of the bed. We didn't have air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
We had an attic fan that would suck the air in. So
oh, yeah.
I could the first live band I ever heard was the black band in the band in the black church.
So okay.
That was the very first live band I ever heard. But I like it all. But
They'd still be going when you were in bed?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they would.
Baptists go to church. It's like 14-hour day on Sundays.
Yeah, but no, this would be like on a Thursday night. I remember it being on an odd night.
Yeah.
But I like everything. I like all the soul stuff, all that stack stuff. You know, I like Al Green and Sam and Dave and Otis Redding grew up 70 miles from where I live. So I liked it all. I really, Sheila gave me what I got for Christmas. I got Sam Cooke and the best of Sam Cooke, and got Percy Sledge. I like hard country like Mel Street, some old school country. I like everything. I like the Stones and the Beatles and Tom Petty and.
There you go.
I could go on and on. I like a lot of stuff.
That's great. Sweet. Now
Frank Sinatra. I love Frank Sinatra.
Good old, my gosh, there's even more people
out
there.
Gosh, we're going to have a full house tonight.
Now, Katrina probably doesn't know this, our producer, but T-Gram, do you remember all those Taco Bell commercials, the Make a Run for the Border and the guy at the piano in the pickup truck? That was T. That was.
That was him right there.
A bunch of those.
Yeah.
They put me in some crazy things.
59,
79. I did a wing walking one time on a biplane.
I can remember that one.
That was the most fun one I ever did. Oh, they had me doing all. I did one with Count Basie in the desert. Count Basie's
Well,
band.
That's who you would expect to run into in the desert.
In the desert.
Yeah. I met Little Richard in the desert.
Right.
And we went on to be great friends. Yeah, it snowed us out one day. I was leaving L.A. They always put us in these limos, and I was winding my way to Joshua Tree National Monument where we shot all those commercials, and it was dark. They wanted you ready to go when it got light enough to shoot.
Right.
And I kept seeing this car behind us. I knew we were going to be doing one with Little Richard. So I kept seeing this car following us. I was telling Sheila, that's got to be Little Richard. That's got to be him. And it got more daylight, and it was this white Lincoln with a gold grill on it. And I said, it's got to be Little Richard.
Pretty much,
pulled up to a stop, I ran back, opened the door, and I'd never seen him before in my life, and kissed him right on the mouth. Man, that was
my security. Yeah.
So that's how I introduced myself to Little Richard.
Wow.
That's really the best way to do it, I think.
But I've had some good times.
The first time we met, you didn't do that at all. Yeah, bummer.
Well, hey.
We weren't in a white Lincoln with a gold grill.
I think that might have been the thing.
You're
right
not
there.
Little Richard.
Yeah, yeah, there's that. Yeah. There's that. Well, I love this new CD.
Well, thanks, man. I like it too, actually.
You should. I that's good to know.
I've not always liked
it. Not that you're biased
everything,
or anything.
But no, we worked really hard on this. I'm happy. It's been a long time since I made a record, man. It's been
2006, right?
Yeah, and that 2006 record was just a real quickie little thing that I don't count it.
Okay.
But probably 2000, actually. Gary Nicholson and I made a record. And, it had been 2000.
Oh, wow.
And it came out in 2004, but we cut it in 2000. So that was the last time. Dang, that's 15 years ago.
That's been a while.
If my math is right.
Carry the Two? Yes, you're right. You're right. Well, this one, I love gospel albums that aren't super heavy-handed and
I don't believe in beating people over the head with the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, this one, your head's bopping. You're doing that underbite thing.
That embarrassing thing nobody sees when you're driving down the road.
Yeah. Right.
People lose me when they start beating somebody over the head with a Bible. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, this is just great songs, but you know, then you realize, wait a minute,
I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in, and I believe the Bible, but I don't believe in beating people over the head with it.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear that, you know.
So why do you think this was the right time for this CD, and why was it the right time for you?
Because I straightened up my life, and you know, I grew up in the Baptist church, but when I started going to college, I started drifting away, and I never came back really till just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I started getting up in the morning real early and reading the Bible for no reason. I don't know why. I don't know why. No, and I didn't have to. And I just started studying, and I got really drawn in and hooked on it. And it's good. It's a good book. It's a good way to live. It beats being drunk and, you know, like I was for most of my life.
Yeah.
And doing wrong things and bad things. So I'm all better now, and it feels great. I got peace of mind. I don't worry anymore. All that good stuff.
Wow.
That's awesome. Well, as Scott mentioned, that CD is awesome. And you wrote a lot of songs on it with one of my favorite writers, the guy you just mentioned, Gary Nicholson. How did you guys first hook up, and how do your styles complement each other?
I don't know if y'all know Ray Kennedy.
Yeah.
Ray was one of the very first guys I met in 1982 when I moved to town, and I was hanging with him, and he was trying to help me out and network. He said, I want you to come out and hear this band this afternoon. They were playing down at Legislative Plaza. They used to have this thing where they'd pay guys $50 a piece. They put a band together, and each guy got $50. He said, I want you to come over and meet these guys. And it was Gary Nicholson, Michael Rhodes,
wow,
Eddie Bears, Steve Earle, and wow. I can't remember who was playing keyboards. So anyway, Gary reminds me of this story. Ray took me over and said, this guy wants to sing with y'all. And it was like, oh, here's another one. You know, well, what does he want to sing? He wants to sing Today I Started Loving You Again. They went, oh, no, not this. And I walked up and said, let's do Today I Started Loving You Again, blues shuffle. Y'all kick it off. And it was a totally different way of Today I Started.
Oh, right.
And
right.
They went, oh, we like this guy. That's it. So that's where I met Gary, and we started writing, and we've been best friends ever since. He's taught me so much. I love him. He's wow. A great guy. And I called him up. I wrote him an email and said, you know, I've recorded 58 of your songs over the years.
That many?
Which I co-wrote a bunch of them, but yeah. I love Gary's writing. And he said, I think I hold the record. He says, I don't know. I think Delbert's got one more than me.
It's not too late.
No.
You can add one more.
So yeah. Anyway, several of these songs Gary and I wrote together. There's one Gary and Bill Anderson and I wrote. But yeah, man, I'd been piling these songs up for a long time, just filing them away in my mind. And Dan Penn, there's four Dan Penn songs on there, and yeah. He's one of my favorite writers, and I've written with him. There's one of a co-writer.
Danny Flowers has got
Danny
one on
Flowers,
there.
Danny yeah. Flowers, and yep. Gary and I wrote a real cool song, and I just filed them away and thought maybe one day if I ever do a gospel album, and so... There they are. There you have it. There it is.
There it is. Wow. Well, we're going to take a break, but we want to let our listeners know that, of course, this segment is brought to you by our friends over at Toyota of Cool Springs. Both Hino and I are Toyota drivers.
That's right.
We love this dealership. I mean, we really do. I mean, even the service department, the whole experience is cool.
I was just there about 2-3 days ago, and they were awesome. One of the things we love about them is that they have unlimited time and mile warranty on their vehicles, mm-hmm. new or used. I mean, that's amazing.
That's crazy.
Unlimited miles. That's crazy. 3-day return policy, and the fact that they're just so laid back. You don't get jumped on when you walk in the door like you do at a lot of other car dealerships. So they're just... Very low key. Very nice to deal with.
Absolutely. Toyota of Cool Springs. Ask for George, the owner. He's going to take great care of you. On the web at toyotaofcoolsprings.com.
All right. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with the great T. Graham Brown here on the Music Row Show. Yeah, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with T. Graham Brown, and that's a tune off his brand new project called Forever Change, and the song's called He'll Take Care of You. A great duet with...
Just went number one on the gospel chart.
Nice, hey. Just went number one. Yee! And Vince Gill is on that song, too.
Vince Gill.
There he is.
There he is right now.
one of my all-time friends, and good Lord, is he talented.
How did you bribe him with golf clubs, or how did you get him to...
No, man, I've just been knowing him a long time.
Oh, okay.
And I knew he'd do it. I just, I called him, he's that way.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's a, in addition to Vince Gill, there's just a crazy list of contributors on this project. There's Leon Russell, Steve Cropper, Jimmy Fortune, the Oaks, so many more. And I'm asking this logistically, what goes into arranging so many guests? Is there a lot of scheduling that has to take place, or are people just able to pop in and do it?
Well, a lot of pop in and do it. You know, some of those folks live close to where we were singing. With the Oak Ridge Boys, we had to get Dwayne did it all. He corralled them all.
Okay.
So I was just, I think I've done like 75 shows with the Oaks, during my career, and that's a lot.
Right.
So I know these guys, and I knew they would do it too. I didn't call anybody that I thought wouldn't
that
do
you
it.
Weren't sure of. Yeah. Yeah.
No, man, everybody was so sweet, and everybody immediately said yes. This whole record, man, I'm telling you, it might sound corny, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit guided this whole record. We had no idea. Sheila and I wanted to get Wine into Water back out there. That's the only reason we cut this record. And we're part of this church building ministry. It's called International Cooperating Ministries, ICM.org. It's a great organization. Anyway, we decided that the proceeds would go to that. And those were the two main things. And we had a very small budget. We did it on faith. We didn't know where we were going to sell it, except maybe our website and it shows, which would have helped a little bit. But we finished this thing with all these people on it, and bam, Sony Records comes out of the blue, picks it up. Then Provident Records, which is the biggest gospel label, picked it up. And then Cracker Barrel put it in all their stores. So, man, that's really... And then we got a Grammy nomination on top of all that. It's just been crazy. I'm telling you, it's just been one of those things.
So that really wasn't a stretch, because I was noticing that all those people came together, and this is being marketed in a number of different ways. That wasn't part of the strategy, or it just kind of fell in your lap,
man,
that way?
I'm telling
you. It was part of somebody's strategy.
Yeah.
It definitely was part of somebody's strategy. It was unbelievable. We had no money. We were able to get the best players, all the players we wanted. We were able to put real strings on it, Jim Horn's horn section. I mean, it just... I'm 60 years old and back on a major label, man. I'm telling you, it just don't happen.
That's awesome.
It's funny. It really is.
That is
great.
Awesome.
It's just great.
Since you brought it up, let's talk about building a church in Guatemala.
Yeah, man. Well, see, this organization is funded by a man that was really wealthy. So he put the money in a foundation. So, you know, a lot of charities, if you donate a dollar, they have to take off, you know, the lights and the help and the limousines the CEO rides around in, and probably a CEO salary. And, you know, you give a dollar, and a lot of times it winds up only 60 cents goes to the actual charity. Well, this deal's funded, so every dollar you give goes to the church building. I mean, it's every penny. And... the churches are all built in third world countries, little churches, are nothing elaborate. We give these people just a little bit of seed money, and the community has to build the church itself. I mean, it's not anything fancy. It's like four walls and a roof. It's just a proper structure. These people are having church in the jungles in a lean-to.
Yeah.
So they don't expect much, and they're so thankful for everything they get. So it's a really cool deal. There's been 5,000 churches built. That's a lot.
Wow.
And 10,000 by 2020. It's just a really cool thing.
They're not all in Guatemala, right?
No, they're all over the world, man. They're everywhere. They're all over Africa, India. There's a couple in China. There are a couple in Iran, even. Iraq, Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, you know, they're everywhere.
Wow.
Honduras, Haiti, South America, Africa, and where? And Sheila was just saying there's a couple in Russia. Yeah, they're everywhere.
Wow.
And they're just nothing fancy. I stress that. There's nothing elaborate. This whole organization, there's nothing fancy about them.
Wow.
They just get it done.
So you say, so proceeds from the CD go to?
International Cooperating Ministries.
I didn't know that.
We didn't do this to make money. We did this as, I'm telling you, it's a whole God thing, and it just has turned out great.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, man. We just put it out there.
There you go. Well, it's
nothing
again,
hard about it.
The CD is forever changed. T. Graham Brown, you can get it on his website. You can get it at Cracker Barrel.
That's right.
All over the
Amazon,
place.
All those great places. iTunes, I'm assuming.
Yeah. All those places.
So you mentioned that it's been a while since you actually stepped in the recording studio. How has the recording process itself evolved for you over the years? Are you doing things differently now than you did?
Well, we don't
the last
cut
time
on
around?
Tape anymore.
Yeah, there's no tape. Yeah.
No, it's basically the same thing, you know, on a computer.
Yeah. But you still get everybody in the room. You're not emailing tracks to each other.
No. We cut all these. And another thing, we cut all these tracks in one day.
Really?
We cut them at the tracking room in one day.
Okay.
Man.
We had, you know, Brent Mason and.
Oh, that guy.
You know, those guys. All those A-team guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, we cut it all in one day. We didn't have any money. I'm telling you, we couldn't afford it any other way. We had to grow some great players.
My goodness.
But no, well, we just did it in one day.
Well, I loved Out of the Rain.
Yeah,
killer
man.
Song.
That's Tony Joe White.
And then I'm always a sucker for People Get Ready. That's one of my
favorites.
Well,
we
had favorites.
That track laying around now.
Yeah, and that had several people. You had the Oak Ridge Boys.
The Oaks are singing background, and Jason Crabb and Leon Russell.
Leon Russell's on that.
Man, Jason Crabb, do y'all know who
he is?
Yeah, he's awesome. And then there's a group on there called Three Bridges. They're like a cross between
I know those guys.
Southern gospel and black spiritual. They're soulful. Then the Booth Brothers are on there, and they're, I think right now, the biggest selling gospel act.
Wow.
You know, in the gospel world. And Jeff and Sherry Easter, they're a huge act. They're from Georgia. They're in the gospel world. And Sonia Isaacs, good Lord. Her family, you know, the Isaacs, and she sings like an angel.
Well, you said that you had several of these songs
Jimmy
just
Fortune,
sitting around. Jimmy Fortune.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
I mean, what can...
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That is what you say.
Just, yeah.
You just, yeah.
And he's been
just
like
no
a
words.
Brother to him. We've gone, you know, over the last, I don't know, 10 years, we've really, really gotten close. He's a great friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he's teaching me stuff. I'm telling you, Jimmy's all right. Jimmy's a solid citizen.
Absolutely.
We did Jason's TV show last week. It was, let me see, who was it? It was Jeff Bates. Y'all know Jeff?
He was just on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. He's a great friend of mine. We've written with Jeff and Gary and I. Jimmy Fortune and Jeff Bates and I.
Well, if you would talk about, because you said that you had all these songs kind of sitting around, but talk about the song selection process, because I have to imagine there's a lot of songs that you had sitting there that you didn't use. I don't know. I just kind of imagine that has to be one of the hardest parts of a project, is figuring out, okay, now what are we going to use?
It wasn't that hard, was it, Sheila? I pretty much had it figured out.
Okay.
I mean, I had my A list, you know. I didn't have to. No, I already had it narrowed down.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had that even before we even thought about doing an album. I'd had that narrowed down.
Well, there you go. Well, there goes my theory.
There goes your theory. Yeah. But there were a few songs that you redid, like Wine Into Water and Pillow of Mercy.
Yeah.
Power of Love.
Yeah, and it was just stuff that I thought would fit this project, man. I had it all in my mind.
Yeah. Well, how did you approach songs that you've done before? How did you approach them differently? Like on Pillow of Mercy, I know there's a few different chord changes.
Well, Mark Carman, the co-producer, he's great. You know, he was pretty much the brains. I hate to say that, but I mean, it was an equal deal. But he's really good at I played him the originals, and he said, "Oh, let's see, what you want to do here?" And so we tweaked it a little bit. But those songs never got heard, see, and that's why I recut them. And like I said, the reason we cut it was Wine Into Water. But we had so many, we've had so many people. Even last night, I did a show with Ralph Stanley and Nathan Stanley last night, and people are coming up every time crying because they're the, either they're having alcohol problems, their mother. I figured out it's either. I thought I was the only one, but I figured out everybody is either just like me or knows somebody real close to them just like me. So that we wanted to get that back out, and I picked the rest of these songs because, like Which Way to Pray. Mm-hmm. It's about spousal abuse. I mean, you know, it's not the most glamorous of subjects, but Bill Anderson and Gary and I wrote a really good song, I thought. And people have come up and told me how much that's meant to them. So we thought, man, we got to put that on there. The albums that these songs were on really never got heard that much. Mm-hmm. They weren't huge sellers. So they're like new songs to 99.999% of people.
So what are you doing now as far as organizing tours for this? We're doing
churches. We've kind of branched out. I've about quit doing honky tonks. I think I did one last year. I just really don't feel like I want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So, and that was a huge part of our business. I mean, right. That was a huge part of our business. But we're doing, you know, fairs, festivals, a lot of small theaters, a lot of those theaters where it used to be a movie theater, yeah. Right. Built in the 30s or something, and they restored them. We do a lot of those.
There's a lot of those around,
yeah,
just tucked in
great,
little places
they're
around
great
the country.
Too, man. Those, they always sound the best, and there's not a bad seat in the house. It's intimate. Sometimes I just take a guitar player with me and just do it that way. I won't even have the band. But we still do regular T. Graham Brown shows, what I call that, where we go out and sing all the hits.
But that's more festivals and
I do what people want to hear. They expect to hear the hits, but I always throw some little bit of gospel in there and talk to them. I don't beat them over the head with it, you know, with the Bible, but I do touch on a few things. I've got a bully pulpit up there, man. I can say what I want to say.
Yes, you do.
And people can leave if they want to, but they never do. So I'm just trying to walk that line, man. Mm. I'm having a great life, guys. I'm having more fun now. I'm 60, and I'm having more fun now than I've ever had in my whole career. The pressure's off. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. I just go out there and have fun, man.
Have fun?
I just do what I want to do.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned earlier that you drank through a large portion of your adult life, and now you're not. How are you? How's your voice? Do you feel your voice getting stronger?
My voice is better now than it's ever been, and I don't know how that works, but I'm singing better than I ever have. And it should be the other way around.
I did notice that when I was listening earlier. I was comparing the different versions of the songs that you re-recorded, and I was like, I really like the new version better.
I think I'm singing better than I ever have. I've learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. As far as how to project?
All that, and, you know, just gotten tastier. You know, my choice of the chops I use, and I'm just having fun singing,
good.
Man. I'm
good.
Just I'm having a great time. I'm doing things I never could do with my voice, and I'm just having a blast with it. And people are liking it. People come up and say, "Hey, man, you ain't lost a step."
Nice.
Well, we're enjoying it too. So, we're gonna take a quick break, but we're gonna come back in just a few minutes here.
We're gonna talk songwriting.
That's right, with T. Graham Brown here on the Music Row Show.
Even my old friend, the river was low. But
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. We are here with T. Graham Brown, and that is a tune called Soul Talk off of his brand new project called Forever Changed.
Yeah, baby.
And that's a tune he wrote with Danny Flowers and George Nicholson, or George, Gary Nicholson.
Gary and Danny and Jason Crabb singing on it. I can,
awesome.
Jim Horns.
That kind of sounds like a Danny Flowers tune, actually.
Does.
I can hear that.
Yeah.
And a little Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
You can't handle
this. You can't handle this song.
What, Jack Nicholson is Yiddish all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Why would you try to do
I
that?
I don't do impressions. That's
I know
your
you
job.
Don't. I know.
That's your job.
Hello, I'm Jack Nicholson. What was that? Hey. Oh, my goodness.
Got to say hey to my son, Acme, and his girlfriend, Lexi. I guess it's okay to say girlfriend.
Well, sure.
Girlfriend these days.
Yeah, you can.
We love both of y'all. They came over and planted ivy at the house last week on our hill.
Isn't that nice?
Ivy. On our hill that needed some ivy planted on.
And they took care of you. I love it. Well, let's talk songwriting.
I was going to tell you, Acme's the guy I told
that wanted the banjo.
He's a rocker. He's a great player, man. He's got a couple of great bands, and they play fast and loud, and then he comes up and wants a banjo for Christmas. And then he sends me a little thing on my email. He's killing it already.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think speed metal banjo is going to be the next big thing.
Well, Gary Nicholson, I told Gary Nicholson I was out doing these shows with Ralph Stanley, and he emailed me back, I can't wait to hear Brilliant Conversationalist with a banjo. And I wrote him back, be careful what you wish for.
It can happen.
Yeah.
You were a signed songwriter before you were a signed recording artist here in Nashville.
I signed with CBS Songs, which was sold later. It became EMI.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically the same company. It's just EMI. Yeah, I think we moved in April of 82, and I got on at CBS Songs like in December, because I got a deal pretty quick.
Yeah, you did.
Which was great.
For eating and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it was just wonderful to be able to say, hey, you know, people say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm a writer at CBS Songs. It gave me pretty good credibility,
right.
You know. And, I mean, not to be bragging about it, but it just gave me credibility. So that helped a whole lot.
How much time is spent writing these days, and how do you think you've evolved over the years as a writer?
Not enough time. I'm lazy.
Okay.
I really am. I'm a decent writer, but I'm just lazy. I don't pitch songs. I don't have my son. That's one reason I don't get many cuts, because I never pitch them.
That might have something to do with it.
Maybe.
And my catalog at EMI is, I don't know, a few hundred songs, and I don't think they pitch them. They're in the back catalog by now.
Right.
So, plus, I don't really know what's going on now. I write songs that I like. I don't know if anybody cut them or not.
Right.
So, but I'm pretty lazy. But I got a book full of ideas, and I'll write songs. I still write. I just don't write enough.
If you think about compared to T. Graham in 1982 as a songwriter,
smarter.
Are you feeling the same, or you feel like the songs are different?
I write more grown up, I'd say, quote unquote, grown up songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I write for myself, man. I just don't write. I don't know really what's going on. I'm in my own little T. Graham Brown world.
There you go.
And I don't know if that's good or bad, but I live on the hill. They made me get a computer. I don't have a phone. I don't have a driver's license.
What did you say last year? 7 years ago, you're an analog man in a digital world.
Still am.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Still am.
So you're not tweeting.
Well, I've got a Twitter account, but I don't think there's even 500 followers on it. So no, I don't do that very much. We got a decent Facebook page now. It's getting better and better. I like it. Okay.
Yeah.
But
you need a computer for that. So
I check it, but I don't. Sheila takes care of that.
Aha, the secret weapon.
That is the secret weapon
right there. Yeah. And she's doing it right now, actually. Yeah.
I'm writing. I just don't write enough.
I gotcha. All right.
Well, listen, we're going to take one more break, but we're going to come back with...
I wish I could say, Jason Aldean just cut three of my songs, or Luke Bryan, you know, whatever, but no, I can't
They
say
should.
I can't
yeah,
say they really should.
I got some good songs, I think, but they need to be pitched. I think is that something you have to do, pitch songs?
I think so.
Well, you got anything with a pickup truck in it?
No.
Dang it!
That's all right.
If
Jason,
only.
Jason called T-Gram.
I don't have anything about smoking pot in there. Well, I did write this song. I crawled into a bag of pot and went to seed, but I don't think that's more of a hard country song.
Maybe. Maybe that's a Sturgill Simpson.
It could be.
It's got more of that vibe to it. Sturgill.
All right, we're going to be back in a few minutes with T-Gram Brown here on the Music Row Show.
There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. That, of course, that classic tune, People Get Ready, off of T-Gram Brown's latest project called Forever Changed. And there's a whole bunch of people on that one. You could hear the really low notes there from the Oak Ridge Boys.
You heard Sturbin there.
That's right. Cropper and Jason Crabb and, of course, Leon Russell. So lots of folks on that one.
Loved it, ain't it, man? That is.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Was everybody there at the same time? On that one?
No. Leon and I were, but Jason came in later.
Sweet. Mm. Well, sounds great.
Leon's such a sweet guy. I mean, he is very, very, very sweet, man.
Well, we're looking forward to meeting him. We've wanted him on the show for a long time. Let's do some plugging.
I bet he'll do that.
Let's do some plugging. You got shows coming up.
I just want to tell people, I'm not going to go too far in the future. This Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
In Shelby, North Carolina, at the Don Gibson Theater.
Mm.
I think it's probably sold out. Sheila was saying she thought it was maybe. Yeah. But anyway, come on anyway.
You'll go sing out in the parking lot for a while, right?
I might do it.
Okay.
If they got barbecue. But no, this Saturday night, Shelby, North Carolina, Don Gibson Theater. And while you're on your way to North Carolina, stop at the Cracker Barrel, get you some chicken dumplings, and pick up a little T-Gram Brown for dessert.
That's what he did there.
Well, they have Cracker Barrels all along the way.
I know.
So stop and pick up a copy of T-Gram Brown at every one of them.
And have your picture made with it and put it on our Facebook page.
Oh, there you go.
That happens a lot.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Now,
like that.
Do I have to – can I just – buy the CD and still have the Coca-Cola cake?
Sure.
Okay.
I kind of dig the Coca-Cola cake. Nothing wrong with having two desserts.
Oh, see?
And you know what? You can eat your dessert first.
And then listen to your dessert later.
You can eat your dessert first.
Before the meatloaf.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then listen to the CD on the way. That's your
dream.
Ear dessert.
You're changing
right?
my
exactly.
life right now.
Yeah. And then just listen to me going down the road on the way home.
There you go.
Real quick, since we were talking about building a church, I know it's not on this project, but talk just for a second about working on a building, because that was a heck of a quartet.
Oh, well, you know, the proceeds to working on a building album went to the same
organization.
Okay, perfect. ICM. Again, ICM.org. Go to their website. Check them out. You'll see that it's a real deal. It's a wonderful organization if you want to help out. So anyway, we went in on the song, Working on a Building. Marty Raven and Jimmy Fortune and Trace Atkins and I did a Southern Gospel Quartet version.
It is awesome.
Anyway, and we did a video, and that song was a number one gospel song too. So, but anyway, what fun, man!
Yeah. It's a great sounding.
And then Jason and I went in and did a duet on that same album. So I'm on there a couple of times, but that's a compilation. It's got George Jones and Alan Jackson and Glenn Campbell and Aaron Tippin, and then Jimmy, Marty, and Trace each do a solo one, and I think Buddy Jewell's on there too.
Nice.
And so it's a great, if you like gospel music, that's a great record. Working on a Building.
Is Facebook the best place to find where you're going to be next?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I that's what I would do.
And T. Graham Brown, Sheila, is used up. It said it's maxed out. So now there's...
On Facebook. You've reached all the...
So then you go facebook.com/Tony Graham Brown.
It's back to T. Graham.
Is it back to T. Graham Brown?
Hallelujah. We were having some craziness. You know, there's another T. Graham Brown.
He's
an actor in Chicago, and they kept getting us messed up. So.
We can take care of that.
Yeah, we know a guy.
Hey. Good. But, hey, man, thanks for having me. I know we're getting toward the end.
Yeah.
And I really, really appreciate it. Thanks for talking about our record. We're really proud
of
it.
Well, it's awesome. Forever Change. Go find it either at Cracker Barrel or on Amazon or iTunes, all those great places where you can get CDs.
And go to our Facebook page.
And go to their Facebook page.
My poor Aylin Twitter account.
Oh, it needs some more.
Yeah.
I mean, we got
tweet
like
the poor man already.
400 and something followers. I mean, I'd love to at least click over to 500.
We'll get you there. I'm going to go Twitter you right now.
We're gonna tweet you right now. Listen,
people looking at that and going, golly, what's wrong with this guy? What's he got?
Well, thanks again for coming in. We've got another great hour of the show coming up. We've got
Lucas
Hogue's going to be joining us. He's standing in the doorway right now, getting ready.
Well, God bless you all, guys. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Having me.
T. Graham Brown, what a pleasure.
Back in just a few minutes on the Music Row Show.